chapter 7, and your songbooks to page 299 today. And Joel is just going to kind of play the piano while I preach today. We're going to do something a little bit different. But this week I heard a church, not a choir, not an orchestra. I heard an old, basically a church that wouldn't be any bigger than these two sections right here singing this song. And I tell you, I don't know when I got so blessed. And so it made me go to the song. And I began to read all the words of this song. And I tell you, God blessed me up one side and down the other. So I'm just going to let this song preach to us today. But I want to tell you something about singing. Some of you, I aggravate you singing. I've got to say this. Zachary come up here and told on you. You know, Jamie told Zachary, she said, women aren't supposed to speak in church, so I ain't a singing. She said, I shout the ball game, but I got to be quiet, church. But let me tell you something about singing. How many remembers the message that John Wesley preached on September the 17th, 1763? Does anybody remember that message? You haven't lived that long, you don't even know, do you? But let me tell you something about John Wesley is the brother that done all the preaching and he led and God greatly used him, but he's the one that's known more. But let me tell you something you do know. You do know the songs that his brother Charles wrote. That is the power of singing. That is the power of music. And don't ever underestimate that power. Satan knows how powerful it is. That's why he uses it to pull people away from the gospel, pull people away from the truth. He knows the power of music. So anyway, this morning we're going to sing this song and I'm just going to preach it. When I was reading this song again, I read down through and I said, there is more Bible in this song than I have heard in the last 40 years in new songs. I'm going to be honest with you. There is more biblical truth. And I said to myself, this is what's happened. Because we're not reading our Bible, because we do not know Bible doctrine, we cannot write biblical songs. And so I just want to encourage you today. I hope this will be a blessing to you. But also, I think it's ironic and interesting that Charles Wesley, I'm not sure whether he was the 19th or the 21st. You know those crazy people that have a lot of kids? They bring John Wesley's and Charles Wesley's into the world. I think one of them was the 19th and one of them was the 21st. But when Charles was born, he was born prematurely. I don't know how many days or weeks premature, but he was premature. And the attendants, the midwives believed, the nurses believed that he was dead. They could not find any sign of life in him. And he was a little bitty premature baby. They gave him to his mother, and she held him very, very close for a long time. And all of a sudden she said, I believe I detect a faint heartbeat. And she ordered them to get what back at that time was a very, very soft quality of wool. And she wrapped Charles Wesley he did not cry. He did not do nothing. He just laid there with his eyes open, almost dead, except she detected a very slight heartbeat. They wrapped him in this soft wool and she held him for days. And on the day he was supposed to have been born, he opened his eyes and cried. The amazing thing is that later on in life, he wrote the song in front of you entitled, Arise, My Soul, Arise. That's amazing to me that that man who, born premature, whose mother loved life enough and loved her child enough, wasn't going to just throw him in the trash can or even have him buried, but said, we're going to, and when it came time, he arose, as it were, from the sleep of that infancy. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to sing this, and I want you to give it everything you've got. And if you don't give it everything you've got, I'm going to ask you to stand. So you've got to get a chance, right, on the first deal. Here we go. Can you hit that for us, Joel? Now, this is a powerful song. I want you to think about what you are singing, and we're going to sing it out with everything we've got to the Lord today. Amen. You sing as to the Lord, right? Here we go.
Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in thy behalf appears. Before the throne, thy surety stands. Before the throne, thy surety stands. Written all is.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to stand. Just wasn't good enough. That was all planned. You couldn't have ever sung good enough. Here we go. Number two. Here we go.
He ever lives above for me to intercede.
Ask you to sing this to God with everything you've got. This song takes you from a lost sinner's position into the very presence and throne of God. And I want you to imagine today that you were already in heaven around the throne. And I want you to imagine what you would sing today. So I pray that you get your eyes on the songbook, think about what you're singing, and lift your worship to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Verse number three, here we go.
Five.
Go.
Seed on Calvary, they pour effectual prayers. Deeply for me,
look to
forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. Give him, oh, forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransom sinner die. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son.
Here it
is. To the blood, Spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God.
Last verse, and give it everything you got.
I now am reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I draw nigh. Confidence I now draw nigh.
Father, we bow before you today in reverent worship to you today, Lord, acknowledging, Lord, not just that you're our God and our Savior and Redeemer, but you're our Abba Father. Lord, we praise you for that today, and I ask God that you'd help us just to break the bread of life, and Lord, just to bring to light and maybe lift up a little bit better for folks to see the great truths, the gospel truths of this song. Bless it to their hearts, God, and I pray today for those that are lost without God. I pray, God, today that they'll be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And for his glory, you may be seated this morning. We're going to look at verse 1. If you'll take your songbooks and leave it with verse number 1 there. It says, arise, my soul. Arise, my soul. Can anybody tell me where that came from out of the Bible? This song is, from one end to the other is out of the Bible. Can anybody tell me? In Luke chapter 15, there's the story of the prodigal son. And he is down in the hog pen and the filth. And I'm going to be honest with you, you're not careful. You read that story and you just think, oh, he went down to feed the hogs. The Bible says he's there and he's eating the husk of the hogs. And it is a glorious picture of a lost man in his sin. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you today weren't sitting in this church house, but you were at a hog pen and you were covered with hog manure and you were eating the corn of the hogs ate, that's the condition, a picture, that filth that's on you, that filth that's covered, is an outward picture of the sinfulness of mankind. Amen. And the Bible said that that man, that lost man, said, I will arise and go to my Father. And I want to say to every lost person listening to me that ever will listen to me, God commands you to arise and go to the Father. Amen. You say, well, I can't arise. God never gave you a command that he will not grant grace to do. And Jesus Christ says, rise and come to the Father. And I want to say to the people, I talked to a man yesterday, to an attorney. And I said, why do we have the drugs in Wright County we've got? He said, Reggie, I want to tell you why we can't stop it. Because there's so many people want it. And so this morning I would tell you, arise out of your drug culture. You don't have to rot over there in the Wright County Jail or the Texas County Jail or the Webster County Jail. You do not have to rot in that stuff. You can arise and come up out of it. And any man, that, and by the way, that's what grace is. was the moment that it hit your soul. Now, I'm not wallowing in this sin anymore. I'm going to get up and go to God. Did you know there'll be a supernatural power that will take over your life? And you'll feel the surge of God. And God will give you the grace to come to Jesus Christ. The grace of God is the power and the desire to do what God has told you to do. But it only comes to an humble heart that says, I need God. I need God. I want to tell you what I've encouraged us this morning to arise out of our rebellion to God and to His Word. To arise out of the filth of our pride. To arise out of the filth of our love of money. To arise out of the love and the covetousness of the materialism that's killing this nation. To arise out of the immorality. To arise out of the pornography. To arise out of the lust. To arise out of the filth. To arise out of the liquor. To arise from the selfishness. To arise from the garbage piles and the hog pens of this world and go to Christ. And that's what Charles Wesley is telling you to do. Amen. Arise, my soul. And he said this, shake off. Look at verse number one. Shake off thy guilty fears. Do you know what keeps a lot of people from coming to Christ? Well, I'm afraid of what my buddies will think. I'm afraid of what my family will think. I'm afraid that God wouldn't forgive what I've done. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't done nothing God can't forgive. Amen. Shake off your filth. Shake off. Shake that stuff off. Shake off your fears. The Bible said, remember I preached in the book of Acts where that viper latched on the Apostle Paul's hand. What did he do with that viper? That old viper. Most people would have got scared. But he says here, shake off your guilty fears. You're afraid. Oh, now here's another fear. I'm afraid I couldn't live it. This church house is full of young people that's scared to death. Full of young people that's scared. If you really came out for Jesus Christ, you're afraid of what your ball-playing buddies would think. You're afraid of what your car-driving buddies would think. You're afraid of what everybody thinks. If you really came out, shake off your fears. The only day in my life I ever got free was on January the 24th, 1982. I shook all that fear off of what everybody thought, liked or didn't like. And I said, I'm going to the cross and I'm going to Christ. And I tell you, it's been a wonderful ride ever since. Amen. I was never free till I got rid of the fears. Some of you have been called to the ministry, but you're afraid. That's good. But God will do what you can't do. There ought to be 15 boys and young men in this church house answer the call to preach. But you're afraid. He's telling you something. First of all, arise. Come out of that hog pen. Go to the Father. Then He said, shake off your fears about life. You're never going to be worth a plug nickel to God as long as you're scared of what people think of you. Amen. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not them which can kill the body, but fear Him which hath power to cast both soul and body in hell. That's whom ye shall fear. He said, shake off those fears. He said, get rid of them. Can I tell you something that ought to scare you? That in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse number 8, it says, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and sorcerers, whoremongers shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. The first one leading the parade to the lake of fire is people that are afraid. Don't be afraid to run from their sin and run from Satan and run from the world and come to Jesus Christ. If you're not saved here today, I'm begging you in Jesus' name, arise. Get up. Shake it off. Quit being afraid of people. Quit being afraid of the unknown. Quit being afraid of the future. If God be with us, who can be against us? Then he said this in that song. The next thing, verse number one, the bleeding sacrifice. Bless God for some old-time Bible-believing preachers and songwriters who wrote about the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says He's a bleeding sacrifice. What is He telling us there? He is telling us that the blood is the remission of sin. It's the blood that's the life of the flesh. It's the blood that makes the difference. It's a blood redemption in whom we have redemption through His blood. And I'll tell you, that's doctrine, amen. You know what He's telling you? You don't arise, come to the Father, and shake it off without coming through the sacrifice blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's doctrine, amen. People are being told to come to Jesus. He's kind of a fixer, you know. Can make your life better. Maybe might help your marriage. Might help you with your family. Might help you get a better job. No, but it's not about a bleeding, dying Lamb of God sacrifice. That's what it's about. Amen. You can't save yourself. You're as wicked as hell. You're as wicked as hell itself, and you know it. You wouldn't want the thoughts of your mind this week put up on a screen in this place. We've got to have a Savior. We've got to have a blood redeemer dying for us. He said the bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Do you know what the Bible said over there? The Bible said He appeared in there in the book of Hebrews in my behalf. But God committed His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, our behalf. This man knows what he's writing about. You know why he can write such a song? Because he's in this book. You know the reason we can't write songs like this now? Because they're not in the book. And I'm telling you something. That's how you learn truth. And this is the kind of guy, this is the kind of songs that were sung with the Great Reformation. When this country was founded, when this country was become a Christian nation, when this country was lifted up out of the mire of the world and become the great beacon of the world. This is the kind of doctrine and song singing that got the job done. Amen. Bleeding sacrifice. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, that's Him. For the unjust, that's me. Why? That He might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh. The bleeding sacrifice. Amen. In my behalf, He took your sin and my sin upon Him. Now you notice what it said. There's a word He put in there. He said, in my behalf appears. Well, did He just come up with that and said, I think it rhymes, so I'll write it? No. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:24, Christ has entered into the holy place, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, He's getting happy now. He said, I've come up out of the hog pen. I've headed to the Father. I've come through the blood. And now I understand that this one who shed His blood is standing for me and for my benefit and on my behalf in the presence of Almighty God. Boy, I'm telling you something, listen, it's worth everything. Then He said this, watch what He says. Before the throne, my surety stands. Before the throne, my surety stands. Now, that word surety is another Bible word. You can go to your concordance and look it up. But what it means is, somebody's making sure about this thing. Amen. Did you know that He's making sure about your salvation? He's making sure about your Savior. He's making sure about your security. He's making sure about your safety. He's making sure about your satisfaction. He's making sure you're solid. He's making sure that you're settled. And all of that is bound up in my surety. I'm not my own surety. Now the Bible tells you not to co-sign to be surety for other people. Ain't that right? But can I tell you a great gospel truth? That Christ is our surety. And by the way, your salvation, if you're saved, it is secure and it is surety in Christ. Surety means somebody is guaranteeing the bills paid. I went to borrow $10,000 to a bank and they said, Reg, you got any collateral? And I said, no. And said, you got anybody to help you? I said, Phil, I ain't got anything put down for collateral. Would you be surety for that debt? You know what he comes down there and he puts, he got two trucks and a tractor worth $25,000. He said, I put those down for surety to the bank. You know what he's doing? He's making sure he's being my surety. And I'm telling you something. You want to be sure of whether you're going, you can know whether you're saved or not. Amen. And if you want to be sure about heaven and sure that you're forgiven and sure that you're saved, you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That Bible said that He is your surety. It's not Reggie Kelly making me sure. It's not the preacher making me sure. It's not my feelings making me sure. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood, makes me sure. And that's what Charles Wesley is trying to teach people. Now, oh, man alive. You say, Reggie, I don't know what you're excited about. Well, you get saved, you might get excited too. Amen. You know what it also means? It means a big old word in the Bible called propitiation. The Bible said He is our propitiation. Propitiation means this, that God the Father is satisfied in the Son what He did for my sin. Amen. Now you listen to me. God is not up there saying, Reggie, He paid 90%, you bring the other 10. He's my surety. He's my propitiation. God the Father is completely and absolutely satisfied in the sacrificial, substitutional blood redemption that His Son did on Calvary. And when I place my faith in Christ, receive Him as my Savior, call upon Him and forgive me my sin, God says He is your surety now. And Christ is my surety. He's my propitiation. He's the one who makes it stand. He's the one who makes it hold. Can I ask you an honest question? Has anybody besides your preacher sinned this week? The rest of you pray for us. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something. I ain't even going to tell you how bad I sinned this week. But it's worse than I'd want to tell. I did tell my wife. I did, Danny. I told her, I said, Karen, boy's just bugging the daylights out of me. I said, I sin. It's eating on me. I said, I've confessed it, but it's still eating on me. And I had to go back to the Bible. You know what I had to do? I had to go back to my surety. Amen. I had to go back to my surety. Because I'm not sure, Kenny. I'm not surety for anything. I can't make it one day. I can't make it one day. You know, somebody, it was Danny told me, he said, you know, me and Myra, he said, we used to say we're taking a day at a time, we're taking a minute at a time now. Did you know that Jesus Christ is your surety every moment of the day? Amen. Oh, listen, yes, we're to live holy. Yes, we're to live right. Yes, we ought to do right. But Christ is our surety, and he's teaching that in that Bible. Oh, good land, we're just in the first verse. My land sakes alive. He said, before the throne it stands. Now, then he said something. He said, my name is written in his hand, on his hands. How many knows that is a literal biblical truth? Isaiah 49 says that we're graven on his hands. Then when you come to the New Testament, John 10:28 says, my Father which gave them was greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. If you've got something graven in your hand, pretty hard to take that out of your hand. That song is so biblical. He said, he's my surety before the throne. And he said, my name is written on his hand. That's biblical. I just want to encourage you. Here's what I want to do. If you're saved, I want to make you happy today. Just excited and thrilled with the Lord. If you're lost, I want to make you miserable. That's exactly. I want to split you right down the road. If you're saved in here, I'll tell you what, this will bless your heart, give you joy in the Lord. You'll be glad you're saved. If you're not saved, I hope you just get really upset at me or something. I mean, I hope you get nervous and bothered. Think, what in the world did I get in here? How did I listen to this crazy guy? Anyway, I'm telling you, listen, this is good stuff. Anyway, I just want you, George. Let's look at verse number two. Well, let's sing verse number two. Where'd my piano player go to? All right. That's all right, Joe. Listen, you got a family. It's all right. Say that we can sing in Acapulco. We can sing in Acapulco. Oh, acapella. I'm sorry. Don't tell me I can't have a good time in church. Amen. All right, you ready? You got songbook? He lives above for me to. I can't sing that loud. Go ahead. Boy, we messed that up good, didn't we? Somebody hit me the right note. There comes Joe. Hit that again. Oh, I can't sing and preach. I can't sing and preach. Help me. Here we go. He ever lived for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. Blood atone for all our race. Blood atone. It's about ripped out, and I'm trying to preach and sing at the same time. It ain't working. Amen. But Joel, I sure appreciate it. I'm not kidding you. You know what it says? Look at verse number two. He ever lives above. Where did he get that at? Does anybody know where did he get that? Didn't he just pick that out of the air? The Bible said in Hebrews 7:25, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He ever lives to make intercession. God is not going to die, man. God is not going to get tired. He's not going to be weary. He's still going to be there when the ages roll and he's interceding for us. Then he said, for me to intercede his all-redeeming love. The Bible says, 1 John 4:10, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the perpetuation for our sin. The Bible said in John 3:16, what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his redeeming love. He said his precious blood to plead. Well, how come him to call it precious blood? Because 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 said that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold that you inherit from your father and so forth tradition, but he said with the precious blood of Christ. as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He didn't just write that arbitrarily. And then he said this, his blood atoned for all our race. Did you know the Bible said he tasted death for every man? There's nobody sitting in this building Jesus didn't die for, amen. I'll tell you what, you say, well, Reggie, I didn't know if I'm elected or not. Well, why don't you try coming to Christ and find out? Amen? Why don't you just try coming to find out? I guess it's part of that junk, amen? Oh, listen to me. He died for you. He loves you. He paid it all for you. His blood atoned for all of our race. So let me just throw in something. You're talking about a wise statement for all our race. Did you know as far as Charles Wesley was, there wasn't no white, yellow, brown, black people. They're humans. And then can I tell you something? The day America ever gets back to this, we're going to have a better country. Amen. Yeah. The day we realize that Christ didn't say, oh, I died for the black section and the white section and the yellow section. And we said, Christ died for all mankind. Amen. And quit dividing people up. Quit pitting people against each other. Now, don't get me started on that. And then it says his blood atoned for all of our race. And watch this now. Watch his wording. And sprinkles now the throne of grace. And sprinkles now the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 9. I want to read this to you because I want you to understand. Listen, this guy is not writing off the side of his head. He is writing out of this book. Hebrews chapter 9. And I want to go to verse number 15. I need to just leave my Bible open to that. But it says there in verse 15, wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. I'm sorry. Verse number 15. It says, and for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were in the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 16, where a testament is, there's also the necessity to be the death of the testator, and that's Christ. For the testament is the force after men are dead. Jesus died and is now in force. Otherwise, there's no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament, that's the Old Testament, was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Now watch verse 21. Moreover, he did what? He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves a better sacrifice than these. For Christ, here it is, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25, not yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters in the holy places every year with the blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I could go on and on with you about that throne of grace. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse number 14 it says, seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the what? Throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and help and find grace and help in time of need. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. This man was writing from an experience of being in the Word of God and knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for him. In verse number 3, and I'm not going to try to sing it this time. Joel, I'm sorry, I just ain't got the voice to do it, but I appreciate it. And you do as you need to. And look at verse number 3. We're going to read it, though. Five bleeding wounds he bears. How did he know that? By reading his Bible. He was pierced in both feet, both hands, and his side. Now, I want to give you something. Watch this right here. Watch it. Everybody listen. Listen to me. Five in the Bible has a double meaning, actually. It's meaning for, the best meaning you can know for grace, for five is the number grace. I can show you all through the Bible how five is connected to grace, but I can also show you that five is connected to death. And I'm going to give you a great Bible truth. Here's what the Bible's teaching you, that if you reject grace, there's nothing but death left for you. So you're going to do something with the number five. It's either going to be your grace or it's going to be your death. And Christ is the author of salvation by grace. And if you reject him, you get death. That five will turn from grace into death for you. His five bleeding wounds. Where did he get wounds at? In Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. His five bleeding wounds he bears received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. Now listen. This is important. How many times have you sinned or you just got out of sorts and you tried to pray, but oh, it seemed like nothing. Can I tell you something this morning very sweet to your soul? You and I can't get to God on our own. No way. But we are accepted in the Beloved. And let me tell you something that happens. When Reg Kelly sins, the devil accuses. Look at that. That's the Bible. He's the accuser of the brethren. You know what Jesus does? Those five wounds. I paid for that sin. He's our advocate. That's what he's teaching you. I'll tell you what, folks. I just wish we would get a hold of these wonderful, wonderful, great, marvelous truths of the gospel. That is his effectual praying. I can't get to God except in Jesus' name. Amen. Through Jesus' blood. And he knew that. He said, they pour effectual prayers. Watch this. They strongly plead for me. Now, you watch this. How can it strongly plead for you? Because, watch this, if he paid for your sins with his blood and God is satisfied, then how can God charge you for what he said he was satisfied about? Does that make sense? I don't think half of you is listening. Does that make sense? If my sins are paid for, Jesus can strongly plead and say, but Father, his faith is in me. His faith is in my wounds and in my blood, and that has perpetuated your holy justice. And they're paid for. That's strong pleading. Amen. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he is our advocate before the Father. Listen, folks, listen. If getting saved and then living a perfect life gets you to heaven, I will go straight to hell. And you will too. You don't know of a preacher that lives a sinless life. You don't know anybody that lives a sinless life. But you better know one that did. Amen. Jesus Christ. And it's in his sacrifice. And it's in his wounds. And it's in his blood that the Father is. And that's what makes it effectual and strong pleading. That there is a basis for this. Then he continues and says, after the strong pleading, forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Does not 1 John say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he said, forgive them, oh, forgive them. They cry, let not that ransomed sinner die. If God ever lets one ransomed sinner die, he's not God anymore. And by the way, that word ransom is a Bible word. It means the price that was paid for your redemption, for your purchase out of sin. And then we go to verse number four. There are so many, to be honest with you, this. If you would take this song, spend a day in it, and take and chase all the verses through the Bible that's in this one song, it's such a blessing. I haven't run them all out, but I've got way more written down than I'm even reading to you or saying to you. In verse number four, it says this: the Father hears him pray. You know how I can go to God with confidence? Because I know that I have access to the Father through Jesus Christ, my Lord. It's because of Jesus. He said the Father hears him pray. Now watch this. His dear anointed one. That term anointed means the Messiah of the Old Testament is the Christ of the New Testament. He is the anointed one that God sent and anointed to be our Savior and our Redeemer. He said this. He said the Father hears him pray. You know, sometimes it might do us good just to get on the knees and say, dear Lord, would you just... I just want to, it's Christ. Would you hear what Christ brings to you on my behalf today? Lord, I have nothing to bring you. There's no goodness within me. But the Father hears him pray. His dear anointed one, he cannot turn away. Whew. Mercy sakes alive. How many here thinks the Father will hear the Son's prayers? He's praying for me. Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan desired to have you, to sift you like wheat. He will shake your life to pieces. But Jesus said, I have prayed for thee. Watch this. That thy faith fail not. Amen. And I was saying, Brother Danny, when I'm the downest, Actually, this week, I was just like, ugh, can't stand myself. I'm at a point in my Christian experience where I, like the prophet said, I loathe myself. I just loathe myself. I mean, I'm like Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, dwell in the midst of an unclean. And I absolutely have no right to heaven except Jesus died for me. That's it.
Amen.
But I'm glad that I know. I'll just tell you the truth, Daddy. I know you're the same way. If my son Ben came to me today and said, Daddy, I need $1,000. I got to have $1,000. My boy's going to the doctor. How many here think that to a son, I could care less? I ain't helping you. What would you do? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father give good things to them that have? Kenny, you know what I'd do? If I didn't have it, I'd take some piece of junk or something to Mountain Grove somewhere and I'd try to sell it and get the $1,000, or I'd go to the bank or somebody, I'd go down to Danny's or somebody and say, listen, I need $1,000. My son needs help. Can you understand today how your Heavenly Father, He is not going to turn down His Son for you? And it's not about how great you are and good you are and wonderful you are. It's about the fact that Jesus is wonderful and Jesus is great and Jesus is pure and Jesus is holy. And I'm in Christ, amen. And when He saved me, He put me in Christ. Oh, mercy, sakes of love. I tell you, I can't get it on. It just amazes me what He wrote. What verse are we in? Verse number four, aren't we? Are we in verse number four? Now, I want you to take your Bible to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And folks, I tell you what, I can't believe it. I think we're going to make it by 2 o'clock. Some of you thought I was going to say 12, didn't you? We may make it by 12. Just hang in there. I want you to get here because this will help you. Now listen, this will help you. How many have ever not felt saved, even though you had been saved? All right, I want to help you something here. Now you listen to this. He said there in verse number 4, the Father hears and pray, His dear anointed one, He cannot turn away the presence of His Son. Now watch this. His Spirit answers to the blood. That is one of the most powerful doctrinal statements and truths out of the Word of God. His Spirit answers to the blood. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me something. I am born of God. Now let me tell you what's killing this country. Here's foreign evangelistic services. Put out in the paper, we're having free bubble gum. You know, you're in a third world country. They don't see bubble gum, you know, twice a year. We got candy. We're having candy at the crusade tonight. So 5,000 people come. They preach. Danny, you and I have been in these things over in Russia. And we're going to give you a Bible tonight. And it may be fine. Or if you'll ride our bus to church, we'll give you fruit nuts and cereal on the way. Fruit Loops for every child gets on the bus. Get them all there. Give them kind of I call gospel light. Now, how many of you kids, bow your heads, how many of you kids don't want to go to hell? Okay, now put them down. How many of you kids want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. How many of you kids, now, would you preach this prayer? Oh, dear God, oh, dear God, oh, God, and say, now you all come up and get your candy. It's going on. Except churches in America have a lot slicker way. It's a fine art. It's a fine art. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, I'm going to give you a truth today that you need. If you ever get saved, nobody will have to tell you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this is Bible. Now, I'm going to put that with one qualification. There's one person that has to tell you you're saved. That is the Spirit of God. This verse number 4, He has been traveling now from the hog pen through His salvation, His understanding of what is salvation, who His salvation is. Now He's coming to a place of assurance and dealing with doubt and struggles in your Christian life. And He's telling you a great faith truth that the Spirit is who will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Now, why is this needed? Because if you're dependent on your mommy, your daddy, your preacher, telling you whether you're saved or not, you don't know. I ain't saying you ain't saved. I'm just saying you won't know whether you're saved or not. But I am going to tell you this. Then he said, look at that verse again, last part of it. He said there, verse 4, his spirit answers to the blood, his spirit answers to the blood, and tells me I'm born of God. Now watch 1 John chapter 5. We're going to pick it up in verse number 8. And there are three that bear witness. Now watch, here's this witness in earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And if we receive witness of men, the witness of God is greater. All right? Now he's saying there's three that bear witness. Somebody is going to bear witness about what happened. Then he continues saying, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Here it is, the witness. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. You don't have an external witness from somebody else. You have the witness within yourself when you're saved. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, the witness that God gave his Son. Verse 11, here it is. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now here it is. He's going to lock this thing down. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It did not say that he that went forward at a church service had life. It did not say he that got baptized had life. Now, I'm preaching to the lost right now. You listen to this preacher well. I don't know if I've got 5 minutes or 15 years to live. But I'm going to tell you, I've been reading Ezekiel chapter 3, and I'm to warn you. I'm to warn you of death, hell, judgment, and the lake of fire. I'm to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. I'm to tell you that this life is not a joke. It's not a ball game. It's not a golf club. It's not a trip to the fishing hole. Life is serious. And you're going to wind up in heaven or hell depending on what you did with Jesus Christ. And you better make sure work about your salvation. And I'm telling you this. It is not necessarily a little prayer that say, it isn't a prayer that you said a prayer doesn't save you. It's Christ that saves you. Now here's what I'm asking you. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you, can you say, I have the witness in my heart that I am a child of God? Romans 8:16, listen to your Bible. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the child of God. Now you have that witness of the Spirit. Now I want you to look at verse number 13 with me. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? No. Can I tell you the God that we worship in this church this morning is not some kind of tormenting, what's them things on a string? Puppets on a string? Tormenting you about whether you're saved or not? Did you know the will of God is before you walk out of this building today, God wants you to know whether you're saved or lost. He wants you to know whether you're one heartbeat away from heaven, one heartbeat away from eternal hell. And God is not some kind of God who plays with you and torments you and makes you wonder. God wants you to know today whether you're saved or whether you're lost. If you're saved, he wants you to know it. He said the way you're going to know it is by the witness of the Spirit. Now I'm going to blow his socks off you and blow your hat in the creek. The witness of the Spirit is the Word of God. Not a feeling. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes I feel saved. I can't hardly hold it, amen. But sometimes I don't feel so saved. What am I going to do then? I'm going to go to the witness of the Spirit, which agrees with the blood. And let me tell you why. How many's ever seen somebody just gloriously get saved? And they come up a new person. Do you know what's happening? The Spirit is agreeing with the blood. When they place their faith in the blood of Jesus Christ shed for them, the Holy Ghost goes, amen, amen, amen. And their heart goes, whoa. Well, I don't know. I'm not saying you've got to go, whoa. But there ought to be something inside. And the Holy Ghost of God is going to say, it's all right. You're saved. You're mine. It's over. I paid for it. You belong to God now. You're a child of God. Look what your song says there that goes with this first John 5. It tells me I am born of God. I want to ask you something. Has the Holy Ghost ever told you you're born of God? You betcha. I tell you, I'm an old-time believer. You can come down a sinner and go out knowing you're saved. I'm telling you right now, I'm an old-time believer of the Holy Ghost of God, because I don't care if there are 14 devils sitting up in the choir saying, you ain't saved, you ain't saved. The Holy Ghost says, I'm saved, I'm saved, amen. Amen. And the Holy Ghost will never disagree with the Bible. In fact, it will cement and concrete and settle what the Bible already says. It'll agree with it. Well, we get down to verse number 5. Boy, we're gaining. Well, I wish I could sing. But I can't. Can't hardly preach much less. Look at verse number 5. You know what? Now, what's happened in verse number 4? He's got it settled by the witness of the Spirit. Got it settled. Witness of the Spirit. I don't have to have preacher or the Pope or nobody else tell me whether I'm saved or not. Spirit of God told me I'm saved. Boy, I'll tell you what. He's happy again. Look how he kicks verse number 5 off. I now am reconciled. Well, there's all kinds of verses on how God reconciled us through Christ to himself. Made peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled to God. He's writing Bible doctrine. He said, man, I came to Christ out of that hog pen, came to the blood of the cross, came to the Savior. He said, I came the way God said to come. And he said, God bless me and he gave me witness of the Spirit in my heart. Now I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. He said, now I'm reconciled. Amen. He's coming up out of he's coming up to the crescendo now. And he said, his pardoning voice I hear. Whew. That little small voice inside. Yeah. That small voice when you're reading your Bible and God just comforts you and lets you know he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to take you through. He said, his pardoning voice, by the way, did not Isaiah say over there in Isaiah, I believe, 55? He said, I will abundantly pardon. Everything Charles Wesley's writing in here, scriptural, somewhere in the Bible, I promise you that. And he said, I'm now reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child. I'm no longer a child of the devil. I'm now a child of God. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He said, if we're in that family, he said, not heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I watched that. Listen, somebody put that on, I think maybe here in church. Did you see that clip about the lady who adopted the little baby as quick as it was born? And her church was promoting adoption as opposed to abortion. And this lady had this little 8-year-old daughter with her that they had adopted when she was just born. And the whole church service was about the fact, trying to get people saying, listen, if we want people to stop aborting babies, some of us are going to have to adopt those babies. Okay? Church is being called to action. Well, she talked about all these things for a little bit. And then pretty soon she looked down at the little girl, and the little girl read all this stuff about being adopted and everything and what God had saved her and all this. It's really good. And then all of a sudden her adopted mama says, and I told her I had you a special surprise today. And out behind the curtain come her birth mother. And if you've ever saw anything, get you. When that little 8-year-old girl turned around and saw her birth mother, she ran to her, threw her arms around her, just laid her head on her. I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father is such a wonderful, wonderful God that he took a sorry, worthless, hell-deserving, scour-head like me, and Brother Phil made me his own child. Amen. I'm a child of God today, whether you like it or don't like it, I can't help it, amen. But my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. And he owns the taters in the hills, amen. And he's my Heavenly Father. He said, he owns me for his child. Oh, we're bought and purchased. He said, you're not your own. I mean, he's just giving you Bible. Bam, bam, bam. Then he says, I can no longer fear. Oh, my goodness. Fear hath torment. He said, I'm God's child. What do I have to be afraid of? If God's for me, who can be against me? And then he says, and I'm just skipping over this. This stuff is so rich. He said, with confidence, now I draw nigh. Now, I don't tell you how many here has got grandkids. Ain't they the sorriest things ever hit the face there? Grandkids. Brother Dan, you know what my grandkids do?
Run back to you, crawl all over.
Well, yeah, some of them run from me. But I tell you what they'll do. They'll show up on the farm, and they come a-trotting down the sidewalk, and Myra, they don't even knock. You know what I'm talking about. They just come barging in. Head straight for the refrigerator. Head straight for the pantry. They don't even stop. Can you say, Grandma and Grandpa, may we come in? Grandma and Grandpa, may we go to the pantry? What's wrong with my grandkids?
That's the same thing as
yours. What's wrong with my grandkids? Can anybody tell me what's wrong with my grandkids? They have confidence. I'm their grandpa. They're welcome. They've done figured it out. They're probably going to get it all anyway someday. Whatever's left. What they don't eat up. I want to tell you something, Brother Jeremy. If my grandkids have got confidence to just come, the only thing they'll do is ring the bell door, knock if the door's locked. And does anybody know how? Listen, you can learn something from kids. Does anybody know how they knock or ring the doorbell? You're right. Ding, 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 ding. And you think, well, they'll quit in a little bit. No. Ding, 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 ding. And if they can't ding, they're not high enough to reach the door. That's prying. That's what God said to do. Importunity. Just keep knocking, amen. So what does Grandpa or Grandma finally do, Kenny? Hi, kids. We're so glad to see you. No, we really are. Please don't take that wrong, grandkids. We're tickled to see you. We're glad to see you. God see him come. God see him go, amen. Hey, if that's the case, I would tell you, I don't have a grandchild I wouldn't die for. I'd sell my farm if they had physical or a hospital problem and needed. I'd sell my farm. Amen. We'd take our RV and park it on a hillside somewhere and live in there. If that's the way I am with my grandkids, how is our Heavenly Father with you and I?
Amen.
How much shall He not give us? You say, well, He ain't gave me very much. Well, how? So you've been up there to see what Jesus is doing for you, have you? Did He not say, I'll go away and prepare a place for you?
Amen.
And if I prepare a place for you, come again? And we think this is a big deal, living 40, 50, 60, 70 years down here and have a few problems? Going to have a new glorified body? The devil be in the lake of fire? Jesus on the throne? New glorified body? Good land living. Look what He says there. With confidence, I draw nigh. Ding, 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 ding. Charles Wesley said, I'm just like a grandchild going to my grandpa's house. I know I can get in there. And if it's not locked, I can walk straight in. I'll tell you something that makes you feel funny. That's when you realize somebody's in the house and you didn't know they was in the house. I was in there one day by myself. And all of a sudden, I hear this noise back here in the utility room. That's a rat. That's a big one. Pretty soon I heard what sounded like a refrigerator open. That ain't no rat. And the next thing I know, I look around, there's cash. What made him feel like he could come to my house? I'm his grandpa. Hey, can I tell you something? You're welcome into God's presence today. You betcha. Love casteth out all fear. He ain't afraid to come to my house. You know why? Because He knows I love Him. If an old sorry dog like me won't turn a grandchild away, what in the world would your heavenly Father be like? Amen. He said, with confidence, I draw nigh. And all this, the sweetest thing he ends up with. And Father, Abba, Father, cry. You know what Charles Wesley knew when he wrote this song? If you're going to go down the road of your Christian experience, there's going to be some tough things happen. You're going to get older. You're going to get weaker. You may have a financial disaster. You may have a health disaster. And you see this world just collapsing around you. And your loved ones may forsake you. And all kinds of garbage that you just never dreamed would happen happens. And all of a sudden, it's not just going to be Father. It's going to be Abba Father. I'm going to tell you about Abba Father. There's a song about it. We won't sing it today, but three times it's in your Bible. The first time you ever hear anybody say Abba Father is when Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. And he addresses his heavenly Father as Abba. Now, Abba Father is a very, very, very deeply affectionate terminology. I mean, it's the kind when the grandchild, not just in your house getting what he wants, but when the grandchild has been hurt and wounded, physically, emotionally, spiritually, any other way, and he wants grandpa holding. He wants grandpa holding tight. Say, it's okay, we'll be all right. The next time you hear about it, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, 15, I think it is. He says, whereby we cry, just like Charles Wesley wrote, Abba Father. I think the next time, I'm not sure about that, but the next time I believe it's in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 6. Watch this. He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts crying, Abba Father. Can I tell you, I'm at that Abba Father stage, Danny. I appreciate Danny Meyer being here. They've got a 50th wedding anniversary coming up. It's been such a blessing to me here recently. But I'm at that Abba Father stage. I'm not going to lie about it. Everybody else has your deals. Some of you has, I don't even know how you go through what you've gone through. But everybody's, my pain's my pain. Yours is yours. But I'm at that stage. When my dad died, he died in 93. I was 64 years old, I guess, what it was. You know, I've known him 67 years. And I've just had a hard time with it. I've never been to his grave yet. I miss my daddy. I don't even like to see pictures of him. Because if I see a picture of him, just flood my mind, my spirit, my soul, flood with memories. And then I find myself moving from my Father to my Heavenly Father and saying, Abba Father. Lord, I'm hurting today. I wish I could talk to my dad. I wish I could do a few things differently. I wish I could be a better blessing to my dad or whatever it might be. But it's moving me to this Abba Father. What are you going to say when you're dying on your deathbed? Father, hold me. Father, take me through the valley of the shadow of death. But we've got an Abba Father. I've kind of chopped this thing up, and maybe it's not been like I want, and I wanted to sing it, but I can't. If you all can sing it, you're welcome to. But I want to ask you today, what a song. Let this become part of your faith in who you are. Arise, my soul, arise. Arise from the sin. Arise to the Savior. Arise to these great doctrinal truths that God has set forth for you. I love you in the Lord. Let's bow our heads together, if you would, please. I have not said welcome to you that are on the broadcast listening today, but we do welcome you. We're glad you're listening. But to all who are now hearing or may hear this message, I ask you this question today is, can you say Abba Father? Can you say Abba Father? Can you say that you have the witness of the Spirit in your heart? Now here's what's going to happen, quick. You're in this building today, you're either saved or you're not. If you're saved today and you just want to tell God, Lord, I'm just glad I can call you Abba Father, won't you just come and worship Him this morning, find your place to just worship Him and praise Him and thank Him. And hey, knock on His door and ring the doorbell of heaven this morning, would you? And say, Abba Father. If you're here today and you're not saved, oh, please listen to this preacher. You're going out into eternity. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. My prayer is that you will be saved, that you'll arise and go to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Call upon Him. Say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Believe in your heart that He died for you, was buried, and rose again. And God will save you. I'm telling you, call on Him. And I'm telling you, don't you quit till God's rung the doorbell. God's answered the doorbell and said, it's on. He'll bear witness with your heart. But today, if you're here in this building and you're lost, I'm going to invite you to come. Now, we're going to stand in just a moment, and here's what I want you to do. I want you, just as quick as you stand, I want you to bail out of that seat. I don't want you to stand there for 2 or 3 seconds thinking about it. I want you to make up your mind right now. I'm coming. I'm arising, and I'm going to Jesus Christ, and I'm not being afraid of what anybody thinks. I am going to God. Let me tell you something. It'll be the blessed day of your life. It really will be. And I tell you something further, there'll be somebody come pray with you. We're not here to twist you around or play games with your soul, but we want you to be saved. And we want you to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to stand with me and just to say, Father, we pray now that you'd just do a wonderful work in this time of invitation. God, I've done all I know to do. I'm just a mailman carrying the message. But, oh, Holy Spirit, would you do that great work of conviction and drawing of lost sinners to Christ? Would you do that great work of comforting to your saints? God, would you do that great truth of confirming your truth to their souls about who Jesus is and what He's done for them? And may we, Heavenly Father, draw with confidence to the throne of grace. And may we cry, Abba, Father, too. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand. You come today as the pianist plays. If you have a need for the Lord today, you come and we'll meet with you. You come and pray today. Bail out. Arise. Bail out. Some of you young people, my heart's burdened for you. I know you're struggling. I'm not here beating you up. But I just see the bondage. I see that you're trying to make your worldly friends happy and you're trying to make God happy. It's tearing you up. Would you come? Do business with the Lord today. Do business with God. Would you come? All I can do is beg and plead. You on the listening on the broadcast today, wherever you're at, would you just bow your head and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to accept Christ today as my Savior. I'm going to rise and go to Jesus. You can. He will give you the grace. Don't be afraid. Step out on the water with Christ today. Would you come? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Several have come. What about you today? It's not late. As our heads are bowed, the eyes closed. You know, folks, a lot of times I just let you out on Sunday morning. I want God, the Holy Ghost, to do a work in your heart so powerful that you'll get saved at home if you have to. But I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed. I'd like no one looking around. I'm going to ask you a question today. How many people in this building say, Reggie, before God Almighty today, who is looking, watching, knows my thoughts and intents of my heart, the Spirit of God witnesses to me that I'm saved. I place my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Would you put your hand high to glory and wave it to God and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I can call you Abba Father today. All right, you may put them down. You say, Reggie, why'd you do that? Number one, to give the saints a chance to worship and thank God for their salvation. Number two, to bring you to a place of decision, a place of crossroads. You're going to go one direction or the other. If you could not raise your hand today, that you're saved, you don't know, you don't have that witness of the Spirit, could you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me in these next moments. God is dealing with me. The Spirit of God is convicting me. He's troubling my soul. Would you slip your hand up high, high, so I can see it in this church house. Anywhere, anywhere, way high, so I can see it. I'm looking from one side to the other. I do not see a hand. I hope everybody in this building is saved. I tell you, I do. I want to see every one of you in heaven. Not a hand anywhere. Father in heaven, we trust today that, Lord, there's total honesty in this building. God, I pray the Holy Ghost will do a thorough work of searching out the hearts. Lord, I want you to be glorified in this church. And I want you, Lord, to be honored and exalted. And Lord, we know that part of that is when people get saved. So, Lord, if there is anybody here that's lost, I pray, God, that you'll deal with them. They won't even be able to enjoy their dinner. They won't sleep good tonight. I pray, God, take every rest away from them and peace away from them till they've found Christ, till they arise and go to Jesus.
God bless those that are listening today via the internet. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunities of getting the gospel out every way we can. And Lord, I pray that you help these folks today to rejoice in these great truths that Charles Wesley wrote back in 1700s. Arise, my soul, arise. God, we love you today. Thank you for that precious moment when you said to me, Reggie, arise. Shake off your fears. Lord, what a glorious day. It's just getting sweeter all the time, Lord. I am so glad. We love you, Lord. Bless now these people as they go home. Give them a wonderful day together as families as they live this day, the Lord's day. Make this first day of the week a day that we're ready, filled with God, ready to face this little wicked world. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here.